Good morning. Good morning, everyone. This is Deanna Allen, and I am welcoming you to day 18 of a 21-day journey, empowering you for breakthrough with Donna M. Power, Parto, and myself. We've been really, really, really excited and blessed and pressed in really close to God to hear and ask Him what it is that He has to say, how can He teach us, and how can He really invite us into His presence so that we can see breakthrough. We have seen tremendous breakthroughs in our Facebook group. We are now at the home stretch of this group and very, very, very excited today to talk about some important things. I want to recap a little bit. This is kind of a touchback from our day nine of this teleclass, where we identified our enemy's three key strategies that he uses to keep us bound. And then we talked about how do we get free. If he has this, you know, really intricate strategy, although once it was exposed, we saw it was, wow, yeah, that's pretty simple. And yet he does it again and again and again. And so then we talked about how do we get free. And that free was we have to face our past pains, we have to renew our mind, we have to examine our ways and test them, then we have to expect and embrace the change. So I'm sure that those of you who have been with us from the beginning and those of you who are just now jumping in and you're trying to take in days 1 through 17 and specifically, you know, the parts about healing and deliverance and really having that breakthrough, you're probably asking, you know, is this a one-time deal? Jesus said that we would know the truth and that the truth would set us free and that he whom the Lord sets free is free indeed. So is it a finished work or is there more to do even after we've had a breakthrough over a specific area? I know one of the ladies that had been working through some issues over the group, had tremendous breakthrough in the area of a shift in the atmosphere in her home, began to apply some of the principles, really was praying for her children and family was an area she wanted breakthrough, and she did what we instructed to do. She began to pray over her children and even anoint her children to plead and apply the blood of Jesus, and the next day she reported on the group, "My children who never fight are fighting like cats and dogs today. What's going on?" So today I want to talk about what happens now in the coming days, in the next weeks, months, even years. Is this a finished work? During that call on day 9, we also talked about the difference between a breakdown or a breakthrough. And this is a principle that's going to stand the test of time. In any area of our life where we've had a breakthrough or we're expecting and praying for a breakthrough, we're going to have to continue and continually come before God. We're going to have to stay in the Word. We're going to have to do some of those very basic things. You know the expression that old habits die hard? Well, when we're talking about strongholds, then we're talking about something that's even stronger than just an old habit. A stronghold is not something that you can break on your own. A habit, some very strong-willed people can say, you know, I'm just going to quit. I'm going to cut it out. And they do, and bless them. That's not me. I have a very addictive, kind of compulsive tendency, and being aware of that, I really, really have to stay close to God, especially when I'm trying to break through something. So today, I want to talk about how we go from glory to glory. A lot of us probably would prefer that we could go from mess to glory. We sit in whatever we need a breakthrough on, and we ask God, you know, just deliver me from this thing. You know, some of us that are purging our houses, we kind of have identified this pattern that, you know, we have to clean the cup from the inside out for the outside to shine. So we started this inner work, but as we started this inner work, some of us got really real and said, you know, gosh, when you want to talk about the atmosphere of my home, it's a wreck. Many of us were purging cabinets and closets. We were just suffocated, clutter everywhere, disaster, downright disaster zones. And so that kind of sets an atmosphere in our home of chaos and of clutter, and there's no peace. And so it also is part of the mess is the external life as well. Those behaviors that we live in, those patterns that we keep, and those things that really vie for our time with God. So we would prefer to be able to go from mess to glory, but God wants to make a message out of our mess. And I believe that that's part of going from glory to glory is, what is the current mess? And what do I need to do, God, for this mess to become a message? So today I want to look at a couple of things regarding staying free. How do we stay free? What happens now? Well, Proverbs 26, verse 11 says, as a dog returns to his vomit, so a fool reverts to his folly. Galatians 5, 1 says, Christ has set you free. Stand firm. Refuse to be tied to the yoke of slavery again. So if we look at these two verses, we see the Bible is telling us in Proverbs, you know, this book of wisdom, that we're not to go back to the mess that we've been brought out of. In this process, the things that God has broken off of us, we have to stand firm now and refuse to be tied to that yoke of slavery again. You know, strongholds, they don't just go easily. Donna and I were really talking about how, you know, the devil for a long time, when we have very unhealthy patterns, we've talked about, you know, listening to secular music maybe, watching TV, zoning out, video games, politics, whatever it is, eating, you know, we just, 9 o'clock hits and it's me time and so what do? I just, you know, stuff my face and eat all kinds of unhealthy things. We don't get adequate rest because we stay up doing kind of mindless things, and then we have to live on caffeine throughout the day. So when we do these things, you know, that's not really the enemy. The enemy doesn't have to work really hard against us when we're working against ourselves. He's pretty much like, you got this one under control. You're pretty much destroying your own life. I'm going to go, and I'm going to really go after somebody, you know, that I have to worry about. And then we make a stand and we say, no, I'm gonna challenge these behaviors. I'm gonna challenge these messes. I'm gonna ask God to get involved and reveal to me, why do I do the things that I do? And then the enemy gets a little bit nervous because now our mess is about to become a message, and our message is gonna bring glory to God, and our life is going to change, and people are going to notice. And if people notice, then people might get saved, and then saved people might get free. And you can see where this is going. And, you know, now we've just, the power of numbers, we've really done some damage to the kingdom of darkness. And so the enemy is now intimidated. So I want to show you where this whole thing kind of goes. What do you do after you've had a tremendous breakthrough or deliverance? Now you've made the enemy a little nervous, and now he's very aware that you're on your way, that your light is shining brighter. So the Bible in Matthew 12, verses 43 through 45 specifically, talk about this process exactly. I'm not talking about the places where you have behaviors and lifestyles that you can really do some changes on. We're talking about these strongholds, these things that you just really feel they're demonic. You know that they're tied to a deeper root. These things where in the Bible it talks about these things only come out through prayer and fasting. Well, we're warned that these evil intruders do not intend to stay away. After we've had this breakthrough and we've repented and we've done all of these things and we've sent them out and we've told them to go and in the name of Jesus, you know, you're not welcome in my life. But then what we have to do is we have to learn to recognize their knock at the door and we have to be empowered to not answer, because it's really easy to fall back into behaviors, negative thoughts, different types of things in our mind, will, and emotions, where when we go there, we're really taking the bait and we're opening the door back up for those strongholds to come back in. Matthew 12, 43 through 45 says this: when an impure spirit comes out of a person, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept clean, and put in order. Then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of that person is worse than the first. That is how it will be with this wicked generation. I've actually, because I do prison ministry nationwide, I've had opportunities where I've gone in and somebody has, you know, asked me, I have a very short amount of time to spend with them, and they've asked me, you know, can you please pray that I'll be delivered of my drug addiction? That's very common. Or childhood abuse, whatever it is. And I actually have to kind of question, what is their willingness to fight for the other side of the promised land? You know, there were some battles that had to happen to get to the promised land. I share about that in some in-depth teachings in my third book, Recovery to Destiny, Journey to the Promised Land. There are some battles that we have to be willing to fight, and we look at that where it says, now stand firm and do not be taken as a slave again. So there's God's part and there's our part. So God helps us. We get to this place of breakthrough. We let these strongholds, these demonic influences know. We serve them an eviction notice and they go, and we feel great. We feel so free. Man, our house just feels, it's filled with joy and peace and the presence of God. And then if we're not careful, if we lose the momentum, you know, that 21 days that we did of fasting, that 21 days of consecrating our time, that we were in the Word of God so much, we were on our faces, we were prayer walking, we had, our homes were filled with worship and praise songs, and we were just there. And then all of a sudden we just start slowly going back into our normal life. Well, when we go back into our normal life, this verse here tells us that that spirit that we asked to leave or that got cast out is going to come back, and it's going to see if our house is in order. So what do we need to do? Well, today we're going to take a look at some of the context in Ephesians 5. And I want to point out some key verses here. It says, follow God's example. There's one. Follow God's example. I don't think God's surfing on the internet watching politics, getting all stressed out in his mind and, you know, for 4 or 5 hours. I don't think God is feeding himself Doritos and bonbons and living on soda and coffee. I don't think God sits around judging and condemning and being critical and filled with negative thoughts. So we need to follow God's example. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children. Right there, God confidence. We need to know that we are dearly loved children of God and walk in the way of love. We have to change our behavior, some of us. Walk in the way of love. Just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So as we continue to examine our ways and test them, part of that getting free, we need to ask ourselves, am I a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God, or am I an odor? Do I have the stench of death and sin? Am I swaddled in grave clothes, or am I really strutting my robe of righteousness? Then it says in verse 8, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. That's verse 10. Find out what pleases the Lord. We have to continue to inquire. verse 11, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. Now, I know some of us, when we started publicly posting, doing our confession one to another to pray for another so that we could be healed, we actually used that word. I'm ashamed to let anybody see my house. I fear that nobody would talk to me if they really knew. Well, this is telling us it's shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. See, we know we're being disobedient. For many of us, God's already put his thumb on, pressed our heart, and told us over and over and over again. For some of us, if we keep journals, we look back, and this has been our New Year's resolution way too many times to want to mention. So it's shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. It's not a secret anymore. And everything that is illuminated becomes a light. That is why it is said, wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. This is verse 15. Be very careful, then, how you live. That's our part. That's not God's part. That's our part. Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. Well, there's that exposes right there. Some of us are lazy. Some of us procrastinate. Some of us, we just, you know, we're rebellious. We know that God's told us to do something, and we just flat out don't want to do it. It says we need to make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. That's our part, too. We have to seek understanding. We have to ask the Lord for revelation when he shows us something. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's our part, too. The Bible tells us that we have to continually be filled. We have to daily be filled. So we have to come before God and say, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I know that your Spirit lives within me. I need to be full of you. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, what are we speaking to one another? I don't walk around and sing psalms over my friends, although that's what this tells us to do, sing songs from the Spirit and hymns. So sing and make music from your heart, that I do. I'm a worshiper. I dance with flags. I turn on my music, and I'm out with my flags, and I worship, and I dance before the Lord. And I do give thanks to God, not for everything, I'll be honest. I haven't gotten to a place yet where I can be joyful for every situation that comes. It takes me a minute, so that's still part of the journey. So there's his part and there's our part, and we're talking now, of course, we've already looked at how do we get free. What can we expect after we've had a deliverance or healing or a major breakthrough? And what do we do now? What do we do if our mess became a message, and then like it said in Matthew where we just talked about, we fall back. We relax in some of our spiritual disciplines, and we end up worse off than we were before because that spirit came back, and not only did it come back, but when it found out that my house wasn't in order, it brought back 7 friends. No wonder it feels like this time it's 8 times worse. No, it's actually more than 8 times worse because it says that those 7 friends are stronger than that first strong man. So here's what we need to do now. We need to continually fill ourselves. Yes, you've got it. It's the word fill, and it's F. We have to fix our mind. Fix our mind. This is a discipline. This is a daily thing. It's not done when the 21 days are over. We need daily quiet time, daily Bible reading. We have to live in Christian fellowship. The Bible says, do not forsake the gathering of the saints. Don't don't be alone, not be accountable, not be around encouragers, not have a place where you can confess what's going on and have people pray for you so that we can be healed. And communion. This has to be a normal part of our life so that we can stay filled up. I immediately forgive. Forgiveness is a choice. It's not a feeling. When our soul is saying, you know, they don't deserve to be forgiven. I had a right. Wasn't I entitled? I should have been treated better. And it's not a feeling. It's a choice. And we have to do it quickly. We have to keep a really short account with those that are in our life, with ourselves, and even with God. Part of, you know, the 12 steps that I've done for many years, and now they're just a biblical part of my spiritual discipline, is, you know, the Bible says, do not let the sun go down on your anger. There's a reason. If we examine our day, and at the end of the evening, we spend that quiet time with God and just do a quick review of the day, and we realize, you know, we got offended at work. We came home, and because we had a bad day, we weren't totally available to our children, and then we had all of our household duties and had to cook for our children and snapped at our children and then totally just shut myself out because by 9 o'clock had nothing left to give my husband, and I just wanted to, you know, read my Bible and didn't even really talk to him. Those are some of the things that God will reveal, and we have to ask forgiveness, and we have to be ready to change that. So we have to forgive and do it quickly. That's immediately forgive. That's the I in fill. The first L is leave old habits behind. Yesterday in our call, I shared the Nike, which means just do it. We just have to do it. We have to grow up. We have to, you know, God's given us the revelation that some of these nasty patterns are really taking us in directions that we don't want to go. They're that wide road that's leading us to death. The wages of sin is death, and we're experiencing it. You know, things in our life are dying and decaying and falling apart. And we have to leave these old habits behind. We must have a lifestyle change. If we get really aggressive about changing things, consecrating our life, consecrating our mind, consecrating our finances, dedicating them to the things of the Lord, and then we back off of that, then those familiar spirits come back and they realize, oh, nothing's really changed. You were more remorseful. You had more regret than you did repentance. You didn't like the way your life was going, but you didn't really have a heart change because nothing's changed. And if nothing changes, then nothing changes. So these familiar spirits come back. So we have to get into the Word of God, and we have to stand on the promises that we can resist temptation. If you look at it like, you know, an unwanted house guest comes to the door, well, you have the right to not open the door. I know who you are. I have my boundaries. This is my space, and I have the right to say, you're not welcome here. And we have to do that. We have to remind ourselves. We have to go back into those promises. We have to stand on those prophetic words. Why is this so important? We have to count that cost because I know what it looks like. And then the final L is lift up the name of Jesus. And this fill, I'm not talking, you know, now it's day 22 through 40 and I've been free on day 9 and now I have to fill on day 18. No, this is what life looks like after. These principles that have been laid out are ways that we can experience righteousness, godliness, and holiness. And then we have to continually fill. So this one is lift up the name of Jesus. Sing praise songs. Read Psalms. Pray in the Spirit. Take authority. Ask others to pray for us when we feel vulnerable. These are things that we have to regularly do. And if you know that you're in an intense season of warfare, you feel like, you know, now my kids have just gone crazy, we have to put on our battle gear and we have to get in our battle stance and we have to get really serious about this stuff. So that's it for the teaching. Our word today, our focus word, is glory. Glory. We're talking about how do we go from glory to glory. So this seemed fitting that this was the word. that the Lord put on my heart. And here's our daily devotional, which includes, you can go on a treasure hunt, 10 Bible verses here in these three short paragraphs. My child, don't complicate matters. Do not keep expecting your life to go from mess to glory. It is to go from glory to glory. Partner with me so that you will have a message, not just a mess. Do not try to fix this on your own. I am a shield for you, your glory, and the lifter of your head. Exalt me and let my glory be over all the earth. My glory fills the earth in my temple. You are a temple of my Holy Spirit. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to my glory. Do not walk in condemnation when you don't hit the mark. Know that all have sinned and fall short of my glory. It is my desire that you may abound in and be filled with the fruits of righteousness, right standing with me and right doing. Though you may fall seven times shall you rise up again. You are anointed through Christ to do this. My power gives you everything necessary to live a life of godliness. In knowing me, you will have full understanding that I have called you by and to my glory and excellence. This brings me honor and praise, and my glory is both manifested and recognized. Declare my glory among the nations. Share my marvelous works with everyone you come in contact with, in love, not religion. And remember, you are my marvelous work, too. Okay, so now what we're going to do is I'm going to open up the phone lines. Nobody responded to the personal wanting to be live prayed for. So as I sought the Lord this morning, I shared in the beginning that the Lord reminded me on January 23rd, right after we launched this live group, God said to ask all moms that were on the call to identify themselves and it were to intercede for our youth. I had a really strong sense that God wanted to do some work regarding our teens and our college-age children. I have six children. I have a daughter in college. She's finishing up college now. She's 23, and I have another daughter who's just turned 18 going into college as well. I have a daughter in just a couple of weeks turning 12, and so she's in that preteen stage. God said that he wanted to release destinies and break off all that is ungodly in our children and over them. So right now, I'm going to unmute the phone, and I'm going to ask anybody on the call that has children and really identify if you have teens or college-age children. I'm going to give it a few minutes for women to respond, and then we are going to pray this promise of God over our children. All right, coming off of mute, and if that's you,
hello.
Go ahead. Hello.
Hello.
Is that you?
Yes.
Okay. Who else do we have? I see more.
Melanie.
Okay.
Joan.
Vicki. Okay. Vicki. Okay.
Lori. Lori Beth.
Lori Beth. Okay.
Yep.
Who was the
freshman in college? So I have five kids. One's a freshman in college.
Okay. All right. Anybody else want to jump in real quick?
Teresa. Wanda.
Okay. I'm hearing you. I'm hearing you.
Wanda.
Wanda. Okay. Somebody over Wanda. Who was that?
My name is Joan. I have a 20-year-old son who's in college.
Okay. Fantastic. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we believe you. We believe in you. We believe that your word is true. We know, Father God, that you lead us in a direction that is good, and we thank you for these children that you have given us. We thank you, Father, that our children's steps are ordered as well, and they're ordered by you. I thank you that you give us our children for a small season, Father, and that you tell us to raise them, to train them up in your ways so that when they're old, they will not depart from them. You call our children arrows, Father God. You said that having a child is the greatest blessing that we can receive, and then you tell us that these arrows are to be trained and pointed out to hit the mark. So, Father God, Lord, we ask forgiveness for those of us who have not been diligent enough about training up our children in your ways. We ask, Father God, forgiveness for those of us who have really allowed our homes and our children's mind and our children's schools and everything that our children that are being fed, that we've really allowed them to become conformed to this world, and that's not what your Bible says. Your word tells us that we are not to be conformed to this world. So help us, Father God, have the wisdom and the discernment. Give us the boldness and the confidence and the courage and the grace and the mercy to train up our children in your ways. I thank you, Father God, that we pour the blood of Jesus over our children. We apply it to our homes. We ask that you would help us to consecrate their minds, that we would be healing balms over their hearts, that we would not devastate them and their emotions by being harsh with our words, by provoking them to anger. Father God, for those of us that have marital struggles, I ask, Lord, that you would help us to have healing in our marriages so that our children can have successful marriages. We pray right now even over the spouses of our children. We ask, Lord, that you are keeping them in your grace, that they are finding their way in you, Father. For those of us who have high schoolers and college children, we release them into their destinies by the power of Jesus. And right now, by the blood and the authority of Jesus Christ, we break off everything that is ungodly in their life and over them. I ask, Father God, that you would send laborers across their paths, that they would begin to have great, strong Christian friends, people of similar moral beliefs, people that will lead them to your word, not away from their word. I ask, Father God, that you would help them to have the revelation by your Holy Spirit, that you would quicken them in those things that they are doing that are producing bondage in their life, in those hinderings and stumbling blocks, things that they are participating in that are literally causing their destiny to be put on the side of the road. I wake up sleeping giants, those of our children, that young into their childhood, we knew that they were prayer warriors. They had desires to be missionaries. They knew that they had healing in their hands. We saw these gifts at very young ages. When they came home from school, they were continually burdened by the hurts of others. And I ask, Father God, that you would help us to equip and to encourage our children in their callings, that we would be intentional about speaking their love language, that we would be on purpose, that we would prophesy those things that are not as though they were, that we would declare that they have peace, that we would declare that they have strength, that we would declare that they are free, that we would declare that they are wise in the sight of the Lord, that we would declare that they are no longer condemned, that they do not walk in a spirit of fear. We declare these things because this is your truth over our children. Your truth will set our children free just as it is setting us free. We declare that our children will be free, that our children will rise up, and they will be the people that you have called them to be, not later in life, but now. Now. The destinies of our children are not for the future. They're for now. Our children have these gifts that you placed in them, Father God, and it's not for a later day. It's for now. Help us to listen, not always be preaching. We can share your word without being preaching to them. We do not have to hammer the seed of your word into the concrete of their heart. We can soften their heart simply by being available, by listening. And if you do not instruct us to speak to what they're saying, then we have the power to go and pray and pray and pray. Help us to pray over our children. Help us to fast over our children. Help us to write the promises that you show us for our children and then speak those over our children's lives. We release our children. We release ourselves. You gave us these children. We ask, Father, that you would help us to be parents like you parent us. We want to follow your model in raising up our children. We ask you these things in Jesus' name. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. For you that we live, Lord. Amen. All right, ladies, that's a wrap. We'll see you tomorrow morning. Stay connected on the Facebook group. God bless you all. Bye-bye.